This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
And welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it has been an epic ride. This season was an epic ride for all of us. Any Madridista, it was just incredible to see. It was incredible to watch. The season, obviously, La Liga, maybe, a lot of other things were playing a factor in us being able to win La Liga quite, I wouldn't say easily, but, you know, comfortably. But what was the juxtaposition of what felt somewhat easy with La Liga, and it's kind of strange in a way, because La Liga, you know, you had teams like Atletico, which on paper looked very strong. Sevilla was started out very well. Real Sociedad also started out very well. But then as things went on, Barcelona obviously was suffering at the beginning. They turned it around. So there was a lot of things going on, but it was mostly, for all intents and purposes, it was really a season that seemed like it was the other teams fighting to survive and fight for, you know, the Champions League spots and fight for second place. And Real Madrid was there, you know, pretty much sure to, I guess, in the end, win La Liga. But the fight was really, and for all of us Madridistas, the feeling that what we had in our throats, I think, our hearts being in our throats, were essentially the feeling of what was going to happen with the Champions League. And the Champions League, it was just a legendary season. And I'll get into that in just a moment. My name is Eric Rivera. I am the host of Y Nada Más podcast. So thank you again for joining us. I've been doing these, we've been producing these little quick takes. So you might have heard the last one, which was obviously a reaction to the whole Mbappé saga, which at this point seems like old news, right? At this point seems like, who's Mbappé? You know, so winning the 14th Champions League title, I think, really makes us feel that at this point, we didn't need him, or we don't need him. I think going forward, I think with the money that we're saving for Mbappé, there are a lot of things that I think will happen and will bode well for Real Madrid in the future. There's been a lot of, I said it on the quick take, you know, there's been a lot of incredible players that have played, you know, the sport of football, and many of them that we see or we think of as all-time greats never played for Madrid. And even with that, even not playing with Madrid, some of these all-time greats, say Maradona, Pelé, Beckenbauer, Gerd Müller, Johan Cruyff, whatever, you know, all these guys that didn't play for Real Madrid, and still Real Madrid is one of the biggest clubs in the world and essentially is the greatest Champions League team, European football team ever, if not world club ever, you know. So with that said, guys, you know, make sure you follow us on all our social media. We're trying to put, you know, like I said, the quick takes. We're doing, you know, those shorter videos, which will be available only on Our social media channels, they're going to be like 2-minute videos, you know, once when we're reacting to something that we'll put up on our social media channels. And then in addition to that, obviously, you know, I am very active on pretty much my most active one is Twitter, I guess, where we're sharing the most content. So check us out on Inadamas Podcast, at Inadamas Podcast on Twitter, at Inadamas Podcast also on Facebook. And we're really active. We're trying to get really active with our Instagram channel. So make sure you guys join there. We're really trying to grow on Instagram. It's been super slow. I don't know what it is. It seems like, I don't know if it's the algorithm or there's just an abundance of content on Instagram, but help us out. You know, we're designing stuff. We're putting up videos. I'm working on a video right now because I love video editing. Hopefully it doesn't get taken down. But usually it's La Liga that is being crazy with the videos. So I'm not putting up anything that has to do with La Liga. But anyway, check us out at YNM Podcast. That's where we have designs for my good friend Carlos, who is our graphic designer here. And also sometimes I dabble in graphic design myself and we'll throw stuff up there. In addition, you know, videos that I love editing as well. So I like to throw that stuff up there when I can. And with that said, guys, also follow us at inadamas.net. That is our website. And we have two great, very great writers that I'm happy to have on the team. They are Trombach B, who has been with me for over a year and a half, essentially almost 2 years now. And then Halal Uddin, who's out of the UK. He is helping me as well. Fantastic writer there. And Madridista, both of them. And we're just trying to grow the pack. So if you guys are interested for this next season coming up, which I think is going to be even more amazing now that we've seen what can happen with this squad, check us out. Check us out at, write us an email at info@inadamas.net. And, we'll see where we can go from there. With that said, guys, let's get back to the game. I mean, not to the game, to the season, to what, you know, I have wanted to talk about, which is, I just think if you would have asked anybody at the beginning of the season whether or not we were going to win the Champions League, I think people would have told you it was a very, very, it was going to be very difficult. I mean, we suffered, of course, another plete last year, which we went trophyless. It's been an uphill battle ever since Cristiano left. You know, then we had Hazard come in. We had, and then he's had his situation with injuries. And then after just, you know, moving forward, you know, the 3 years that we've had Hazard, but moving forward, I still, you know, I don't know why with everything that's been going on, I think with the, how amazing this team has been, you almost still have faith that Hazard will recover his form again. I mean, he's 31 years old. He's not an old dude. He was a baller at Chelsea. He was a baller when he played for Lille. I mean, he was a fantastic player. So I don't think that's gone, you know. I think he needs to rediscover it. I think he's been, you know, unfortunately the injuries, but he got a surgery. He seems like he's back. He's feeling better. You know, he mentioned it when he was at the celebration in Cibeles that, you know, he wants to do everything to prove himself to us. And there's the one thing that I do like is that while we have guys like Mbappe that we were all hoping would come to Real Madrid, we have guys here that really want to be here, you know? And I think Hazard is one of those guys that regardless of what has happened outside, you know, in his, you know, his, maybe, you know, yeah, maybe he, maybe he likes to eat, you know, which we kind of know. And we know he's not the most disciplined person when it comes to training. How that is now, it might all change. You know, this might be what we're seeing is he's turning a leaf and he's had to adjust, obviously, to Real Madrid. He's, you know, had to improve. So we'll see if that happens. But I have a feeling, you know, that he might come alive next season. With how impossible everything seemed and the things that this team was able to do this season, I wouldn't put it past them that Hazard all of a sudden blows up and pulls a Karim Benzema, which, you know, Karim Benzema for the last 2-3 years has been basically the player that is, you know, has exploded and has, you know, had some of the best seasons of his life. This, of course, being, I think, the best one of his life. which, you know, he is no doubt deserving of the Ballon d'Or. And I think is a shoe-in to get it. I don't think there's any argument who would get it. It would be an absolute travesty if he didn't get it. So with that said, I mean, I can believe anything. I can believe anything. So after the game, I wrote something on the Instagram page. You know, I do like to write. I don't write a lot of the articles, but sometimes I write things on Instagram. Sometimes instead of writing things or writing articles, I'll write them, and then I'll do these quick takes is what I'm kind of going to do in the future, or I'll talk about them on the podcast, you know. So I'll write sort of these editorials, I guess you can say, and talk about, you know, what I had in my mind at that moment, and read it to you guys, or you know, I guess, you know, narrate the whole thing. So this is kind of what I had to say after. If you haven't read the Nada Más podcast Instagram, this is what I had to say, my write-up from after winning the 14th Champions League title. You know, there are no words. There are no words. But for Madridistas, or well, you know, there are words, but for us Madridistas, words do not suffice to describe the UCL campaign by this amazing Real Madrid team. We're still thinking about the fact that Real Madrid won its 14th. You know, Champions League title. But not only that they won it, but that this team, which many of us Madridistas have criticized as being too reliant on its aging stars, not giving its younger players a chance, and of course that Carlo Ancelotti had no ideas, no tactics, and was a washed-up coach whose glory days had long since passed, this was the team that has won it. This team faced every single obstacle placed in front of them, and against all odds, and at times in a manner that seemed nearly impossible, overcame them. This team, which many pundits believed had no chance of winning the Champions League, saw off the likes of PSG, Chelsea, Manchester City, and finally Liverpool. PSG, a team with the likes of Messi, Neymar, Mbappé, Verratti, etc., were eliminated by the magic of a Karim Benzema hat-trick that we all saw, of course, in the second leg, in the second half of the second leg, 30 minutes, and it took him 30 minutes to dismantle this incredible, on paper, PSG side. Last year's UCL champions Chelsea lost in the first leg. They mounted a wild comeback in the second leg, but their comeback was cut short and reversed by a magical Luka Modric Trivela pass, or outside foot pass, that landed at Rodrigo's feet, whose goal took the game to extra time, where Benzema then finished them off with a Panenka finish from the spot. The semifinal against Manchester City, a wild 4-3 win for Man City in the Etihad, and a goal in the 70th minute in the second leg had all but sealed Real Madrid's fate. But Real Madrid came roaring back with two stoppage time goals to once again take the game to extra time, or Benzema once again won the game for Real Madrid from the spot. And in the final, Real Madrid was only able to put one shot on goal, but that was all they needed. This team fought. No, they clawed its way to they clawed their way to victory in every game against the world's toughest opponents and came out on top. Against all odds, the criticism of pundits and anti-Madridistas, Real Madrid once again raised the UEFA Champions League trophy. This was an incredible emotional journey for not only the team, and as can be seen in the photos that we posted and you've seen in the post, the photos and in the videos after every single game where they were screaming at the top of their lungs because they couldn't, you know, they just couldn't believe they were able to do in dying minutes, many times in dying minutes of the game, in the last breath, gasping breath of the game, they were able to pull out the win. There's really nothing else to say, but a la Madrid, you know, that was what I wrote. And then, you know what? It's funny. I realized the Panenka goal, I believe, was against Man City. I had written it was against Chelsea. I believe it was against Man City, because the goal that sealed the deal for Chelsea, against Chelsea, was the header that Karim Benzema scored. after a pass from Vinicius. But I mean, I was just, emotional at the moment, and I had written everything that I could possibly think of. But once again, if you would have thought at the beginning of the season that this was going to be how the season was going to end, that not only was Real Madrid going to win La Liga, but they were going to win the Champions League. They were going to win their 14th Champions League after losing the likes of Sergio Ramos and Rafael Varane. Not having Cristiano, of course, with an injured Hazard that seems like, until of course he turns it around, or he does not. I mean, came to Real Madrid and could be, essentially a dud. With no backup for Karim Benzema because, Jovic and Mariano were not players that Ancelotti has trusted in. But who has risen to the occasion? And it's in a lot of ways, a lot of us criticized Carlo Ancelotti. I would like to say that I was one of them, that although I was having my doubts of whether he was going to be able to take us forward, I never badmouthed the guy, and I've always liked Carlo Ancelotti, and it always bothered me that people would badmouth a guy who has many times won the Champions League. Sure, he might have an old style, or you might feel like he doesn't have a style that suits Real Madrid, or that he's past his prime. But there's something about Carlo Ancelotti that's magical, because he's not only won the Decima, but then he won the 14th La Liga, the 14th Champions League title. He got a 35th La Liga title. He's what? One of the only men to have won the five leagues with five different in all five European leagues. He's won the league title. He's what? He has five Champions Leagues at this point. I think he's the only coach that has that. So if he was really that much of a bum, or what people would say, that he didn't have tactics, then he wouldn't be able to pull this off with the team that he was able to pull it off with, and that could go down to a couple of different things. Sure, it's luck. Sure, there's magic involved. But at the end of the day, there was an innate belief by the players in Carlo Ancelotti as well, and in the way he played. And the funny thing is, if you look at the way we play, as much as we suffered, as much as we kind of sit back and wait, and we don't turn on the gas until we're down a goal, or until, it's almost like Carlo Ancelotti's style is an old school rope-a-dope of, Muhammad Ali against George Foreman, letting George Foreman punch himself out, just dodging and bobbing and weaving for round after round after round until your opponent is completely exhausted. And then when everyone thinks that you're the one that is done and dusted, and you're the one that is probably going to lose the game or lose the fight, you come alive and you showcase that you've just been sort of playing with them the whole time. And at this point, I think when we played against Liverpool and they were taking all these shots on goal, and Courtois, which I'll talk about in a second, of course, but with all these shots on goal, it was almost strange how, I think, watching this game, and I was watching it with family, and I was watching it with my son, and with friends, and, I was drinking beers, and I was, eating jamón ibérico and serrano ham and manchego, and, making a whole tapas festivity of it. But what was strange to me is that with all these shots on goal and how sort of dominant Liverpool felt, but at the same time, I felt like they were taking shots on goal, but none of them were something that I think were really worrying me as much. It just felt calm. It felt like we had been there before. It felt like this team had been there before, and that they knew that at any moment an opportunity was going to open up and they were going to be able to win this game. There was a calm mentality. I mean, we had already defeated. I mean, once again, back to what I wrote, we had defeated the likes of PSG. We had defeated the likes of Chelsea. We had defeated the likes of Man City. It's crazy because if you look back at the the other Champions Leagues that we've won, the three-peat and La Decima, it was almost like you knew, I don't want to say you knew that those wins were going to happen, but we had the BBC, we had Cristiano, we had Bale, we had Benzema, all of them in their prime. We had Modric, Casemiro, and Kroos in their prime. We had Sergio Ramos in his prime, Marcelo in his prime. And before that, we had the like, and before, we've had other games where we had the likes, of course, of players like Di Maria, of players like Mesut Ozil, of players like Xabi Alonso, Pepe. We've had, it was almost like we had these quality sides where it was almost disappointing when we exited the Champions League early, because it was not seen as being, it would seem like we were almost pretty much the ones that were the favorites. But Real Madrid this season was never the favorite. And I think, even from a Madridista's point of view, I know you would be lying, straight lying through your teeth, if you were to tell me that if somebody had told you at the beginning of the season that we were going to win the Champions League, that you had 100% faith that we were going to win the Champions League, I know you were lying. Because nobody believed that this team was going to be able to win the Champions League. For everyone, including myself, this team is still a work in progress. This team is still, recovering from the BBC Cristiano era, from the CMK era, not recovering, but sort of trying to phase out and move away from that era and slowly move into what seems like is going to now, at least now, after what we're seeing, is this era of Rodrigo, Vinicius, Camavinga, Fede Valverde, Eder Militao, Ferlan Mendy, like all these guys, these younger guys are really stepping up, And a lot of us thought they weren't. And some of you did. Some of you did believe. And I have to say, Vinicius has shut me up completely, because there I was of the one that thought, I never badmouth players. So you guys know that I never badmouth players. Maybe sometimes I've been hard on Asensio, which I think is deserved. I've been hard on Isco. I've been hard on Lucas Vázquez. But I felt like Vinicius had a lot of potential, but it was always like, how long are we going to wait for that potential to show up? But man, he just shut everybody up this season. And it seems like now with this experience under his belt, oh my God, the sky is the limit. Unless he all of a sudden, during this off season were to go get hammered, get drunk and become like, 50 pounds overweight and really, completely fall out of it. I think that's the only way you would lose this guy, he's going to be a maniac going forward. He is going to be going forward. I mean, in time, it's just incredible to me that this is the team that we have going forward, and that these are just could be pieces. Now it's like, who is Mbappe? Mbappe gave up on this dream he had, a few days ago, and a lot of people were saddened and maddened by the fact that Mbappe had put. Had decided to go for PSG instead of Real Madrid. And you can't tell me it's not about money. It's about money. Whatever they want to say and whatever they want to gloss over and, could probably hide it and say that, that Real Madrid's deal was actually better. That's absolute bullshit, because we know that that's not true. They had all the money in the world to give this guy. But if there's any indication of the way he behaved and his family behaved, and the way this whole debacle came about, then we saved ourselves from having potentially a person that could hurt this chemistry that we've seen. And if we go to the, there was a interview that Karim Benzema did with Josep Pedrerol from El Chiringuito. Karim Benzema did one, and he talks obviously about Mbappe and that kind of stuff, but one of the things that he did say that I thought was interesting was he said, why do we feel, and I guess he was talking about Madridistas, why do we feel that we need to buy somebody in order for this team to make it? And this is before, mind you, this is before we had won the Champions League, the 14th Champions League. This was just a couple of days before. This was right after Mbappé. And of course, he was talking about we have to focus on the final, but for Karim Benzema, believe it or not, guys, is and obviously we have to I wouldn't say take his word for it, but believe his words, because he is a very, very quality player, and he knows what he's doing and he knows football. For him, he says, listen, we have quality players on this team. We have great players on this team. Of course, he said, you know, Vinicius, he said, Vinicius is top five in the world. You know, and then we have the likes of Modric and Casemiro and Kroos. You know, Rodrigo has been absolutely fantastic this season. And the thing is, I'm very happy because I've been somebody who said to my, who said to you guys many times that Rodrigo, I feel, not to say that he's better than Vinicius, because I don't want to say he's better than Vinicius, but I think he right now is, I think he's a better finisher than Vinicius when it comes to, he's a calmer finisher. He's a calmer finisher. I think the fact that he doesn't score as much is also because we've seen that where he really, really shines is because he's naturally a left winger, but he has to fight for that spot and fight for that position with Vinicius, or has to give up that spot and move to the right wing. And that's where we've seen him most of the time, as a right winger. But he's been fantastic in both places. But where he's really shined is as a left winger and coming on a lot of times as a sub. And he's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think at this point, there's no other person that can really fight for that spot. I mean, now that Mbappe is not coming, I don't think there's anybody else unless we bring a dedicated right winger. But I don't know. Like, if you bring a Serge Gnabry, who's obviously been in sort of one of the guys that people have been thinking about bringing, if you bring a Serge Gnabry, he's going to have to fight for his spot with Rodrigo. Is he going to be really a step up from Rodrigo? I don't know. I mean, I think Rodrigo is going to evolve. The question is he going to evolve as a right winger? Is that still going to stunt his growth? Who knows? If Serge Gnabry shines, he shines. But Rodrigo is always going to be a fantastic player that you can rely on and bring him on. So that's one of the things that's been amazing. And then Fede Valverde can play that right wing spot if we need, you know, somebody to help us more defensively. I mean, that's what has been, I think, the smoking gun, or essentially, you know, the silver bullet for this Real Madrid team has been since Carlo Ancelotti started playing him as a right winger, as this makeshift right winger. And then, of course, you know, other things came out during the season. Towards the end of the season, you know, Dani Carvajal had an absolutely insane game against Liverpool, and he's had quality games, and everybody was worried about him, you know, being injury prone, but it seems like he's finally back. And he showed it towards the end of the season. And those are the types of things that when you're at the beginning of the season, you can't really tell where things are going to land at the end of the season. And this has been such a crazy, crazy year for Real Madrid. That it's, like I said, when I wrote that, it's difficult to put into words. And it's an emotional thing, because I think, what I think is, I've always talked about with you guys about the intangibles being the things that you can't quantify, the things that, you know, you can't put in stats, you know, because statistically, if we were to look, I mean, for all of you guys that think about stats, this entire Champions League run turns statistics on its head, because everything that these guys did seemed almost impossible on paper. You know, to lose, you know, to lose the game in Paris and then get scored on again, you know, by Kylian Mbappe, and then, you know, feeling like, oh, you know, we're pretty much, that's it. We're going to lose this, you know, because they scored 1-0 in Paris, and then they're 1-0 ahead in El Bernabeu. And now we have to score three goals to win the game, you know, to go through. And for Karim Benzema to come alive in 30 minutes and then all of a sudden smack goals in, a hat trick no less, it was absolutely something. I think that was the beginning of it all. I think the beginning of it all was obviously Courtois saving that goal for Messi, and then the just absolute beast he's been all season. I have not seen a performance, and I don't think I can remember, a performance from a goalkeeper like we have seen from Thibaut Courtois this entire season. If it weren't for Thibaut Courtois, I don't think we would have even won La Liga. you know, it's a combination of factors. Thibaut Courtois, the season that Modric is the season that Benzema is having, the season that Vinicius is having. But you know, I our defensive line, they're creating a good partnership along, you know, with Alaba and Militao, and of course Nacho there as a backup. But they were shaky. Carvajal at the beginning of the season, shaky. Ferland Mendy couldn't start, and obviously, you know, we had the likes of Marcelo, who, God bless him, you know. You know, it's sad to see him go, but just wasn't the same anymore. And it just looked shaky. Our midfield, when it was just Casemiro and Kroos and Modric, seemed shaky as well. If it wasn't just for Modric being the beast that he was. And then Kroos coming back into it. Remember, Kroos started the season with a groin injury that was something that, you know, a lot of people were talking was a very hard injury to have. And, you know, he might have not been at his best this season, I think, although he's pretty much always, I think he's just a quiet killer. You know, he's a quiet guy. The way he plays is sort of something that I think sometimes isn't flashy, but it's obviously very, very necessary and very direct and very clean. So sometimes, like we would say in Spanish, pasa desapercibido, which means, you know, you kind of miss him in action because you're not seeing that the way he's pulling the strings. He's kind of, he's a puppeteer. He's sort of outside of your view, but he's the one who's really making things happen. Casemiro, of course, you know, during the season has had his ups and downs. He's had his times where, you know, we all thought he was going to get freaking, you know, a red card. And the fact that he doesn't, sometimes I do agree with other pundits and you know, naysayers and stuff like that, is, you know, how is it that sometimes he gets away with some of the tackles? Because, you know, not that he needs a direct red card or anything like that, but, you know, sometimes he can be rough and you're worried, oh my God, is he going to get, you know, red carded? And then Camavinga, of course, is another one that has shown a lot of heart and a lot of passion. And, you know, he's got to limit it a little bit. He gets yellow cards and stuff like that because he's a very strong tackler. But Casemiro was giving away has a tendency sometimes, and I think he's still done it, where he gives away passes, you know, sloppily and gives away possession. But Modric has been absolutely fantastic, not to say that he hasn't had his downsides as well, but it was really the addition of Fede Valverde, because you needed somebody to be able to withstand pressure. And that was something that we no longer had, to counteract the press from other teams, to work their way out of it. You didn't really have a guy that could go up, you know, come back on defense, you know, and then also help press the offense, because our team, you know, our midfielders, you know, the CMK, they just don't have the speed to do that anymore. And then the addition of Fede Valverde allowed this guy to be just basically a tank running around the field, tracking everybody down, whether he was, you know, trying to tackle you or trying to track back to recover. His insane work rate and work ethic has allowed the better parts of Toni Kroos, Casemiro, and Modric to shine. And then Camavinga coming on a lot of times to assist in the midfield, whether it was for Kroos or Modric, and the elegance that he has on the ball, the ability that he has to sort of get his way out of pressure and, you know, pass the ball and, you know, progress it to where we need it to get it to the forwards, or out to Vinicius or out to Rodrigo or to Benzema himself if he's dropping back. He has a very, very good way of working things in and very good vision and being, I would say, pretty creative, you know, not a creative like a Kroos or a creative like a, you know, your traditional number 10 or anything like that, but very elegant on the ball. And, you know, just I think he's a phenomenal player. And besides that, also, you know, he does well to recover the ball. He does well to progress the ball, like I said. And then in addition to that, with Fede Valverde, I mean, and then you have something that I think for the future is going to be absolutely spectacular. Add to the fact that we might be getting Tchouaméni, but I don't even want to say that stuff anymore because we don't know with the likes of PSG and with the way, you know, these deals are, people are falling back on them, that kind of crap. But listen, guys, it's, I swear, the emotional roller coaster that this season has been, but I remember being a proud Madridista, but maybe it's also because I started doing this podcast, you know, and I wasn't doing this podcast before, you know, during the era of Cristiano and beforehand. But the way these guys did this, the way these guys won this 14th Champions League title was just insane to me. Insane to me because on paper as well, every single team that they faced was better. I mean, if you look at PSG, like I said, it's a team with Messi, it's a team with Neymar, it's a team with Mbappe, it's a team with Verratti, Di Maria, Keylor Navas, Marquinhos. I mean, they weren't able to ever really use Sergio Ramos, but Kimpembe is also good as well. You know, you have all these quality players, Hakimi, you have all these quality players on that team, but there's just no chemistry. And it was crazy how we were able to just, in a matter of minutes, destroy this team. And destroy them not physically and not with better football, but just mentally, to, you know, where when they felt like their backs were against the wall, they capitulated. And it's the one thing that Real Madrid never does. It's insane. Like I was watching, you know, once again, the Amazon Prime series of La Leyenda Blanca. And it's just insane that you look back in history and that's what Real Madrid does. Real Madrid is known to come back or known to never quit, and they will be in your face. And it goes again, guys, to the intangibles. Real Madrid only wants guys that want to be here. And girls for the future of the Real Madrid Femenino. You know? They only want players that want to be here. They want players that feel the crest. And the thing is, if there was one team that I could say embodied Madridismo from the bottom to the top, it is this team of young guys mixed with old guys that we currently have. It's a squad that's full of Madridista. It's full of the emotion that it takes to be a Madridista or play for Real Madrid. The things that I've seen from the likes in La Leyenda Blanca, of the likes of Bernabeu, the likes of Paco Gento, the likes of Di Stefano, the likes of everybody that played for this team since the beginning, you know, that it's like they would rather die, you know, and I'm, you know, figuratively speaking, I don't think literally, obviously, but they would rather die than not play their hearts out, you know. And that's what this team does. And sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. You know, I don't think this team has ever been a team that, you know, purposely, you know, is like trying to throw a game or something like that. I don't think this team has ever done that, you know, or not purposely trying to throw a game, but it's like, oh crap, we're playing bad. Let's just throw, you know. I think Arbeloa said it in La Leyenda Blanca too. I mean, I watched it after this whole thing as well. I watched it again because it was something that I wanted to see after, obviously, this 14th La Liga. I keep on saying La Liga, 14th Champions League title. But to see them obviously talk about all this stuff again, you know, was of how this team, Real Madrid, this legendary club, continues to always follow that same sort of mentality. And where Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it was Arbeloa was saying, Cristiano Ronaldo was very angry in one game. I think it was the first leg loss against Wolfsburg, where, you know, we lost the game 2-0. And Cristiano was saying, you know, playing terrible, we're bad, da, 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 and he was yelling and everything. And Arbeloa is like, you know, it's not because none of us are trying. Sometimes we play our hearts out and the team just isn't performing well. you know? Sometimes the team just, for some reason, things wouldn't go well that day, but it was never like they were purposely trying to, you know, or just not performing. It was just sometimes those games, they're not robots, guys, you know? And then to come back and to, I think, reassess. And I think that's, once again, the chemistry that the club has always had, and having the right players inside the dressing room that can help each other out and try to, you know, find their rhythm again and, you know, get together. And it's not toxic. So they say, you know, this is it. We're going to take this. And now we're going to take this loss and we're going to do better in the next one. And then they did. They won 3-0 with a hat trick from Cristiano Ronaldo. They came back. They basically pulled off an incredible feat like the ones that we saw this season. They did it as well. So, I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. That is the, it's something that's ingrained in this team's DNA. It is the DNA of Real Madrid. But once again, this season was just, it was just crazier because of the fact, or I felt it was just, it's a different feeling because of the fact that it wasn't Cristiano. It wasn't this super team that we had. It wasn't this Benzema, Bale, you know, BBC. That was maybe, let's say, the Wolfsburg loss was maybe a fluke or a bad performance. But this team has played the likes of Man City, played the likes of Liverpool, played the likes of PSG, played the likes of Chelsea. The teams that were, I think, you know, if we were to look at the Premier League this season, honestly, I really felt that the Premier League this season was the best performing, had the best performing teams. Man City and Liverpool on paper were without a doubt the best teams in Europe. The way they were playing were absolutely the best teams in Europe. On paper, you know, they had the chemistry, they had the coaches, they had the players. But what they didn't have was Madridismo. What they didn't have was what Real Madrid has, which is just this attitude that this attitude that this is our trophy, this attitude that this is our competition, this attitude, the attitude that the Champions League was and will always be ours. Mbappe brought it up, I think, you know, when he talked about Madrid and we believed that he was actually going to come, but he brought it up and he said, you know, this team just turns into something else when they're in the Champions League. And the funny thing is, you thought that was only going to happen with the likes of Cristiano and the likes of Zidane and the likes of all the players that have come before. And then lo and behold, it's happening with guys like Vinicius, a 21-year-old, Rodrigo, a 21-year-old, Fede Valverde, a 23-year-old, you know, Camavinga, a 19-year-old. They came in and they just automatically felt the Madridismo, and that is what they have brought. Hey, you know, it's just, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, it's just, I keep on going back and just imagining, thinking about it. And that goal, I mean, the goal that was Rodrigo's goal, and what is it? What are we calling it? 90-49 or 90-50? But you know, that goal from Rodrigo, that's the second goal he scored against Man City to tie up essentially the game on aggregate and take us to extra time. You know, scoring two goals in 2 minutes or two goals in a minute to take Man City of all teams under Pep Guardiola with the team that they have to take them to extra time. And it's just Real Madrid had this way of these teams getting confident that they were going to win something and then snatching it away from them. And the way they snatched it away from them absolutely killed them. It killed it. You know, it was Modric's Trivela pass to Rodrigo killed them when they knew they had to go to extra time. Benzema scoring the goal against Donnarumma, you know, it seemed like that killed them. You know, that killed them, and they just realized that something was up. But then Man City, that goal in the last minute, those two goals in the last minute just killed them. When we got to extra time, it was almost like we were done with them already. You were playing essentially guys who had already given up because they couldn't believe what happened. So they couldn't muster up the energy to fight this team that all of a sudden came from nowhere, that they thought was dead. I mean, I don't know. that's just, like I said, it's almost at a loss for words. I mean, they just, like I said, they killed these teams. They took it away from them. They snatched it away from them in the last minute, and it's like almost like you kind of left shell-shocked, and then you don't know what to do, and that's easy. It's easy to land the knockout blow once you stun them. And that's what Real Madrid has done all this season to pretty much every team they faced. And, you know, man, I'm so happy about this. It's crazy. You know, we're going to do like a recap podcast of what this season was. And I'm going to get the input from, you know, from Hilal and Trambak. But I just wanted to talk about, obviously, you know, I didn't want to go out without saying, you know, I didn't want to not record a podcast. We didn't not want to have a podcast, obviously, of reaction after this. You know, I've been this weekend just drinking and having fun and just enjoying myself because it's been amazing, you know. So, you know, just guys, follow us at Inada Mas Podcast on Twitter. Follow us at Inada Mas Podcast on Facebook. Follow us at inadamas.net. You know, check out the website. Check us out on Instagram at YNM Podcast. It's been an incredible season. I thank you guys for joining us. I thank you guys for being a part of this and listening to the podcast. And hopefully next season it's going to be even bigger. You know, we're trying to do a lot of things. I'm trying to upgrade some of the stuff in the studio, trying to bring new people on board. I want to do some more stuff. Like I said, we're doing the quick takes. We're going to do some other stuff with artwork and videos and different things like that. So, yes, if you want, send in suggestions, you know, what you guys want to hear, please, you know, we'll listen to everything. But it's been fantastic, you know, doing this season. This season has been an awesome one to report on. And I think next season is going to be even bigger, you know. But let's go out with a good song and, you know, different this time. It's not going to be my regular, you know, hip-hop outro the same way I didn't do the regular intro. Thank you guys for joining us. I mean, that was the reaction, you know. And we're going to have a recap episode probably this weekend, I think. So I'll talk to you guys soon. A la Madrid. What a season. 14 Champions League titles, guys. A 35th La Liga. What else could we say? But this team has been absolutely fantastic, and it looks like the sky is the limit for next season. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.